Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of 2 Samuel chapter 22. Our congregation has been working our way through the books of 1 and 2 Samuel, and we are almost completed. This morning we find ourselves in 2 Samuel 22, and 2 Samuel 22 is almost identical with Psalm 18. It is a song of David in the book of Psalms. It is called a Psalm of David. I'm going to be careful to try to be consistent and say song or psalm. Hopefully I will stick with one and not leave you mixed up during the sermon. 2 Samuel 22. This is the word of God. David sang to the Lord the words of this song when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. He said, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold, my refuge and my savior. From violent men you save me. I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I am saved from my enemies. The waves of death swirled around me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I called out to my God. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came to his ears. The earth trembled and quaked. The foundations of the heavens shook. They trembled because he was angry. Smoke rose from his nostrils. Consuming fire came from his mouth. Burning coals blazed out of it. He parted the heavens and came down. Dark clouds were under his feet. He mounted the cherubim and flew. He soared on the wings of the wind. He made darkness his canopy around him, the dark rain, clouds of the sky. Out of the brightness of his presence, bolts of lightning blazed forth. The Lord thundered from heaven. The voice of the Most High resounded. He shot arrows and scattered the enemies, bolts of lightning, and routed them. The valleys of the sea were exposed, and the foundations of the earth laid bare at the rebuke of the Lord, at the blast of his breath from his nostrils. He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of the deep water. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into the spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me." Thus the reading of God's word this morning. This morning we will only consider the first 20 verses of 2 Samuel chapter 22. In last week's sermon, we pointed out that the books of 1 and 2 Samuel were originally written to God's people who were living in the divided kingdom. Shortly after the time of Saul and David and Solomon, the kingdom of Israel was divided between Israel and Judah, the kingdom of the north and the kingdom of the south. And the people who lived under that dual kingship, that dual kingdom, were left longing for the good old days. The time when we had a king like David, who unified our country, who led us in war, who led us in faithfulness to God. And they were left asking themselves, "What do we do now?" And as we pointed out last time, in these last few chapters of 2 Samuel, the author of Samuel is addressing that particular issue. In the first chapter of chapter 21 of the conclusion, we see that God is pointing out to the people that yes, you had King Saul, but King Saul sinned and God's people suffered. In chapter 24, later on, we will read about King David and his sin of counting the fighting men, and because of his sin, God's people suffered from a plague. You see, in the conclusion to these books of 1 and 2 Samuel, what God wants his people to understand is that the answer for God's people is not found in an earthly king like King David. But as David's song points out today, chapter 22, the answer is that God is our king. God is the king on the throne. God is our rescuer. God is our help. God is our answer. It cannot be found in going back to the good old days. In your bulletins this morning, you notice that I have placed an outline as an insert. This is an outline of the structure of the first 20 verses of this song of praise of David. You will notice the first section is verses 1 through 7, where David is in distress and he is calling out to God. Then in the second part, part B, we see in verses 8 through 16 that God answers David's call with a theophany from heaven. We'll define that word later. In the third part, part C, we see in verses 17 through 20 that David is now describing the salvation that God has given him. He has called out to God in his distress, and God has answered, and David describes it for us. Let us look carefully at these verses, at what God is teaching us concerning David's song. We see first in verse 1 that David is singing this song to the Lord when the Lord had delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. All through the book of Samuel, we have read stories of David's enemies attacking him and desiring to kill him. All through the book of Samuel, we have read of the stories of perhaps King Saul and what he tried to do in killing David. David has found himself all throughout his life in difficult and desperate situations. And what does he do? He calls out to God. But look how he does it. Look how he begins his song of praise, verse 2. He begins with nouns which describe for us his God. Verse 2, "The Lord is my rock." The enduring image of David's fleeing from his enemies, fleeing from Saul, is the rocks in the wilderness that he was surrounded by. The rock for David was the hardest, most firm substance that he knew and could describe. Well, that is the Lord for him. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. In his first example of the rock, David describes God in terms of the fact that God is his fortress, his deliverer, his protection. Notice at the beginning of verse 3, he repeats the phrase, the rock. This time, my God is my rock in whom I take refuge. First, the rock is described as a fortress, as a deliverer. Now, God the rock is described as whom he takes refuge in, his shield and the horn of his salvation. He goes on to say, he is my stronghold, my refuge, my savior. Seven nouns which describe for us David's understanding of his God and what that means in his life. But there is a problem. And the last phrase in verse 3, the last line, indicates to us what the problem is. Violent men are chasing him. Violent men are trying to take his life. From violent men, David writes, you save me. I call to the Lord, verse 4, who is worthy of praise, and I am saved from my enemies. Violent men are trying to destroy his life. And he is calling out to God, and God saves him, he knows. Well, how desperate is it? How bad is the violence? Look at verses 5 and 6. The waves of death swirled about me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The image that David wants us to think of is concerning the sea. He is suffering to the point of almost death, like he is drowning in the sea. Waves of death swirling around him. Torrents of destruction overwhelming him. Is David drowning? Is that what the problem is? Look at verse 6. The cords of the grave coiled about me. The snares of death confronted me. David feels like his life is near the end. That his enemies, the violent men who have surrounded him, have almost gained the upper hand. As someone in the deep sea who is drowning and is helpless to save himself, so David feels this in his life. So what does he do? Verse 7. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I called out to my God. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came to his ears. David called out to God. He called for God to help him, and he knows that in the temple, in the place where God dwells, his voice was heard. And God rescued him. In fact, if you drop down with me to verse 17, the third part of our psalm or of our song today, you will see the answer that David has received as he describes it. Verse 17, he reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of the deep waters. Earlier, David in verse 5 is describing his situation as if he is drowning, as if in the middle of the sea, in the deep waters, where he has grown exhausted in his desire to stay above water and to continue to live. And what did God do? Look at verse 17. He reached down from on high and took hold of me. David feels that in the salvation God has brought, it's as if God has reached down from on heaven and has grabbed him and drawn him out of those waters. But is David drowning? Is that the problem? No, the drowning is only an illustration. The drowning is described only in terms of giving us a picture of David's life situation. What David is struggling with is given to us in verse 18. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. David is so surrounded by his enemies, he feels as if he is near death. He feels as if he is helpless to help himself, that he is drowning, and God reached down from heaven and delivered him from his foes who were too strong for him. Verse 18, and God comforted him, or they confronted me, and the Lord was my support. Well, what did God do? Okay. We see in the first part, David's desperate situation, his call to God. In the last part, 17 through 20, we hear David's answer as he has received it from God and the salvation God has given him described. But how did God save him? That's found in verses 8 through 16 in the center of our psalm. And the verses that David gives us describes for us what is called in the Old Testament a theophany. Well, what is a theophany? In the Old Testament, we think of theophanies in terms of the way that God reveals himself to his people in this world in order to save them. In Exodus chapter 3, as Moses has left the land of Egypt, God appears to him in a burning bush, a bush that never consumes, but continues there to burn as a consuming fire. And Moses stands before him, and God says, I have chosen you to deliver my people from Egypt. That's a theophany. God appearing in the world to direct his people or to save his people in some way. As God appeared to the Israelites at Mount Sinai, we have a theophany. God delivers them from Egypt. They stand before Mount Sinai. They see the thunder and the lightning on the mountain. They hear the call of the trumpet. They see the black cloud which has descended on the mountain. And they see smoke billowing out of it like a furnace. The description God gives us in Exodus 19 and 20. That is the description of a theophany. That is the description of the God of heaven appearing on earth in some way, in some form, to give direction as to how to save his people or to save his people. In 2 Samuel 22, David describes for us a theophany. He has called to God in his desperate circumstances near death. God has heard him, the end of verse 7, from his temple. And how does God respond? Verse 8, the earth trembled and quaked. The foundations of the heavens shook. They trembled because God was angry. God was angry at these enemies of David who sought to take his life and the life of God's king. Smoke rose from his nostrils, verse 9. Consuming fire came from his mouth. Burning coals blazed out of it. He parted the heavens and came down. Dark clouds were under his feet. God rose above the darkness that surrounded David. They were under his feet. Verse 11, he mounted the cherubim. The cherubim, of course, in the Old Testament surrounded the tabernacle, the angels with the wings. He mounted them and he flew. He soared on the wings of the wind. He made darkness his canopy around him, the dark rain clouds of the sky. Out of the brightness of his presence, bolts of lightning blazed forth. The Lord thundered from heaven. The voice of the Most High resounded. He shot arrows and scattered the enemies, bolts of lightning, and routed them. The valleys of the sea were exposed. The foundations of the earth laid bare at the rebuke of the Lord, at the blast of the breath from his nostrils. David is describing the salvation that God has given him. As David's enemies have surrounded him, God has responded from heaven itself in a powerful way to destroy David's enemies and to deliver him from those enemies. As they confronted David in the days of his disaster, the Lord was his support. But what do we do with this center section if we call it a theophany? We know the story of the burning bush. We know the story of God before Mount Sinai. In fact, we even see signs of what happened at Sinai before David here as he describes it. Smoke, consuming fire. We see thunder, we hear of thunder, we see lightning blazing forth at the presence of God. We see the consuming fire of his holiness where the Israelites were not to go near the mountain lest they die, Exodus chapter 20. Is this another theophany? Is this an event which has taken place sometime in the book of Samuel that we didn't know about, that God did not record? We must remember that this is a song, a psalm of praise, poetry in which David is using language consistent with other theophanies throughout the scriptures. As David has understood his salvation, as David has understood what God is doing, he is reflecting on his life, on what he has learned from the book of Exodus, on what he has seen and experienced of the thunder of God, of the lightning of God coming to rescue his people. 1 Samuel chapter 7. David is not writing about another event. David is describing the power of his God at work when it saves his people. But why? Why does God respond to David in such a powerful way? Why does God do this for him? Why does God do this for his people? Look at verse 20. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. It's not because David is such a good person. It's not because he is such a faithful king. The reason God has rescued David from his enemies, the reason God rescues his people from their enemies, is because he delights in them. They are his people. He loves them. And because he loves them, because of his covenant faithfulness to them, he responds in a powerful way of deliverance, a way that only God can respond, and no enemy can harm God's people. For God's power is greater than any enemy they could ever face. Why? Because God delighted in them. Now you notice something here about the first section and the third section of our psalm. As the psalm begins, notice how many times David uses the word my or me or I. Verse 2, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield, the horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold, my refuge, my Savior. From violent men you saved me. Notice the end. Notice again how many times in 17 through 20 David uses the word me or my. He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of the waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemies, from my foes who were too strong for me. He confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. The me's and the my's and the I's are filled in the first section, in the third section, but there are none in the middle section. In the middle section, that work is all of God. That salvation for me, for my, is all of God. David is the one in distress. David is the one who calls for help. He is powerless to help himself. God helps him because he delights in him, and God does it all. He does not save himself. He's not capable of saving himself. It is all of God. You see, the words of this song of David, according to 2 Samuel, should be the words of every believer. The people reading this psalm, they want to go back to the time of David. They want to go back to the way it was when King David came into this world. During the time of the coming of God's Son, they wanted to go back to the time of King David. They longed for a David who came like in the Old Testament and led the armies against the enemies of Israel and made Israel a world power on earth. But God sent Jesus. God sent the Son of David, Jesus Christ, and they were disappointed. But Jesus Christ was the theophany of all theophanies. You thought the burning bush was spectacular. You thought Mount Sinai was spectacular. The most incredible theophany that God has ever sent is the theophany of the Son of God coming to this earth to save His people. And as the Son of God has come to this earth to save His people, how did God save His people from their enemies? From the cords of the grave and death that swirls around them as they find themselves drowning in the sea. The theophany that God sent was for His Son, the Son of God, to go to the cross. And in the Gospel of Matthew, as we read that Jesus is hanging on the cross, we read that there was darkness. That there was darkness at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. At midday, the skies became dark. We read that after the darkness and after Jesus had passed away, there was an earthquake and the rocks split. Matthew 27, verse 51. An earthquake, the foundations of the earth shaken, darkness that surrounded the Son of God as He died from that cross. And as He died on that cross, the theophany that David describes in his song in 2 Samuel 22 took place for you. You see, these words of this song in chapter 22 are the words that describe what God did to His Son on the cross. When His people who were stuck in their sin, who are unable to save themselves, find themselves drowning near death from their enemies, God responded as He responded to David in the most powerful way ever. For in verse 8, we read that the earth trembled and quaked. The foundations of the heavens shook. They trembled because God was angry at sin. Smoke rose from His nostrils. Consuming fire came from His mouth. Burning coals blazed out of it. He parted the heavens and came down, and dark clouds were under His feet. He mounted the cherubim and flew. He soared on the wings of the wind. He made darkness and His canopy around Him, the dark rain clouds of the sky. Out of the brightness of His presence, bolts of lightning blazed forth. God's wrath for your sin went upon Jesus Christ on that cross. That's why there was darkness. That's why the rocks split and the foundations of the earth were shaken. Because God paid for sin, pouring out His anger, His wrath for the sins of His people upon Jesus on that cross. And because of the price paid for His Son, His people, even you, do not long for another King David as they did at the time of Jesus. But you understand that your sin has been paid for. That though you are a sinner, though the waves of death have swirled about you, though the torrents of destruction have overwhelmed you, when you've called out to God for His saving grace, He answered. He sent His Son. His Son died for you and paid for your sins. And you who are steep in sin and near death, verse 17, God reached down from on high and took hold of you and drew you out of the deep waters. Sin and death is the powerful enemy that God has rescued you from. Verse 18, they were too strong for me. God alone had to do it. And He has brought you, verse 20, into a spacious place, the kingdom of heaven, which is forevermore. And why? Because He delighted in you. Not because you're a good person. Not because you try to live a good life and haven't done bad things, you haven't murdered anybody or stolen anything. No. He did it because He delights in His people and those who belong to Jesus Christ. He delights in them. And so the words that David writes concerning his God, these seven nouns that he begins with at the beginning of his song, are the seven nouns of your life. God is your rock, your fortress, your deliverer. God is your rock in whom you take refuge, your shield from trouble, your horn for your salvation. Some of you say, but my life is a life of trouble. Sometimes in this world, the things I have to deal with, I feel like David, what David is saying, like I'm drowning, and I call to God, and I don't see the kind of answer, the kind of rescue that David is describing. But you see, God has answered. God has answered in His Son. That's the whole point of the conclusion of 2 Samuel, you see. God is driving His people to think of the salvation that only Jesus Christ can give. The eternal salvation from sin and from death that God has rescued His people from. And though you may face a world of trouble and difficult times, you always live in the comfort that He's brought you out to that spacious place. And He's done it because He delights in you. May God be your fortress and deliverer. May He be the shield and the horn of your salvation. May you know that the salvation is already yours, that it was done only by Him and through His Son, and that He loves His people forevermore. Let us pray. Father in heaven, as we begin this evening our understanding of this song of David, we can see and understand what it means that Jesus Christ has come into this world, that He has paid for our sins, that we belong to Him forever. Oh Lord, we thank You for the theophany of Your Son. We thank You that Your wrath for our sin was not poured on us, but upon Him upon the cross. And that, Lord, we know that because of what has taken place, our sins are washed away in Jesus Christ. Give us the faith we need to believe this and to profess this. Give us the understanding that we need to understand that it's not because of us, but only by Your grace, and that You delighted in us. Enable us to know what it means that You are our shield, our horn and strength of salvation, that You are our rock and protection, our fortress forevermore. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.